Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
You know, even on the best of days, romance gets a little complicated, and guess what? If you're within the sound of my voice, that must mean you are in the seats with once more. As always, my name is Dave Voigt, and I'm the host of this podcast, where we sit down with a wide-ranging variety of entertainment industry professionals, and we pick their brain about current projects, state of the industry, how they got started, and so very much more, in a light and in a conversational fashion. And you know, if you like how we do things around here, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that you do, because you're here and you're listening to us right now. So keep listening to us, and do us that kindness. Hit that subscribe button, give us the old 5-star rating, mash that like button on your podcast provider of choice. We're available pretty much everywhere. Places like Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google. And plus, we archive every single one of our episodes over at our In the Seats YouTube channel. So if you can give us a like and subscribe there as well, we'd absolutely appreciate it. Also, don't hesitate to check us out on the social media. Places like the Facebook, the X, formerly known as Twitter, or as we call it, Twix. Instagram, Tumblr, Letterboxd, Threads, TikTok. I lose track. But it's at In the Seats for all sorts of fun updates. And finally, and I do dare say most importantly, please pay us a visit over at In the Seats, intheseats.ca, for our latest and greatest from the world of film, television, basically the moving image at large. Because guess what? If we love to watch it and write about it and talk about it, we'd love it even more when you come by and read about it and listen about it. So please, do us that kindness and pay us a visit. We got a fun one for you today. It's been doing the festival rounds for a little while, and it is now hitting theaters in the States and here, rolling out in various places. It is the strange, it is the delightful, it is the weird, but really introspectively weird, and fascinating too, with Love and a Major Organ, which is probably one of my favorite little discoveries of last year, and it's from director Kim Albright, starring Anna Maguire and Hamza Haq, and it's in an alternate world where hearts are made of objects, and suppressing emotions is a form of self-care. That is, until a lonely woman rips out her own heart for the man that she loves, only to discover that he's actually run away with it. And that causes a bit of a problem. It's based on a stage play by Julia Lederer, and this is really interesting sci-fi. It's a little dystopian, it's a little satirical, but it's all really goddamn smart. And I mean, I was so happy when I got to see this movie, because again, it's one of those ones that you appreciate after you watch it, because it's rare to get stories that are this smart and this well told. And we had a very unique pleasure of sitting down and talking with the two stars of the film, the one and only Anna Maguire and Hamza Haq, about the making of the film, especially during COVID, and just the themes of it all, and just the business in general, which is an ever-evolving thing, and just how it all marries back to a gloriously weird project like this, which keeps these two fine actors going in more ways than one. But like I said, check your local listings for With Love and a Major Organ. But first, enjoy our talk with Anna and Hamza, because between you and me, it's a pretty darn good one.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that have been floating around for a while, your movie's been floating around for a while. Yeah. I'm happy it's sort of been building the steam and getting out into the ether, and obviously, just to kick it off officially, thank you obviously both so much for the time today. Just because, I mean, I saw this at Fantasia and I absolutely loved it, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's just to see it sort of, you know, growing steam and just sort of turn into this this thing now that's going to be out in North America, I really love.
Yeah, that's... It's amazing. It's incredible. You never know. You
the little engine that could.
It really is. It really is. You know, there was, everybody kind of like, nobody was in this for the money.
Yeah.
You know,
obviously.
I mean?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
goes in. You spend a week a month in Vancouver with 2 days of sunshine and a lot of rain, and you kind of get to know everybody, and then you finish it, and then they're like, "Hey, it's done." And
you rip
watch
the
it.
Side off your car, not even your car, the rental car.
Yeah, the insurance takes care of it. You lose the $40 that you made in the movie. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, they're just like, "Hey, it's ready," and it's this tremendously thoughtful and charming piece of art that is now being enjoyed by more people than we could have imagined. So it's
more than 10.
More than 10. You know what I mean? And that's not even including everybody who was in the festival.
We're 9?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I mean, I guess walking through for both of you, sort of your initial reactions on reading the material, because, I mean, on one end, it's decidedly strange, but there's also real heart to it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you have to sort of, there's a line there that you have to be able to straddle and find.
Well, it's got to be honest, I think, ultimately. Yeah. You can't just make strange for the sake of strange.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
So I think it really speaks to Julia's world. Julia Lederer, the writer, she's very brave. She's got a lot of heart, right? She's sharing a lot of her vulnerability in the writing of that film. And I think it's easy to connect to... So Julia Lederer, the writer, she gave a lot of her heart to the piece. And I think... it's really easy and, well, easy is not the right word, but it is, I think the more honest and vulnerable everyone in the process is, the easier it is to be honest and vulnerable yourself. And
sure.
So it's all just, it's a kind of a collaborative falling back into space and hoping to be caught exercise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. For me, when did we do this, 22?
Yes.
Was this January 22?
Yeah.
Okay, so December 21, I was meant to leave Canada and go see my kid. I hadn't seen her in a while, and the Delta variant was discovered,
right.
And all flights
right.
were grounded. And
right.
I missed her birthday, and I was tremendously depressed. And then this script just landed. It was like, hey, read for interest. So I was in the middle of a depression and took an edible, took a bath, read the script, laughed my ass off, and I was just like, oh, this is really funny. And then, you know, woke up the next day and I was just like, let me try to read this without that, you know.
Yeah.
And it was still so charming, so loving, and most healing. I thought it was still incredibly funny. So I was just like, I don't know where they are in the casting process and whatever, but I gotta read for this. So I sent an audition tape, and within a couple of days, like right, I think we had our chemistry read Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, and then by like the 27th, they were just like, all right, you got to come to Vancouver in a week from now, and you'll be here for the month. I'm just like, great. I need something else. I need a distraction from my life currently. And it was, and the whole movie was just about, you know, investigating one's life and one's relationship to love, and it was exactly what I needed at the time to
love
be
it.
Like, you, haha, you thought you were gonna escape. Nope, you're gonna go deeper in, and you're gonna sit in this. You're gonna be vulnerable, and it's everything that you need to excavate whatever is going on, and all of it's on screen.
Was getting that sort of level of honesty out there sort of the key to developing chemistry? Because I mean, on one end, particularly for your characters, I mean, you have to have chemistry, but then you have to not have chemistry. You're like, you're kind of swinging the pendulum in a very kind of violent way.
But I mean, that's chemistry, right? You know what I mean? That's the nature of volatility. I mean,
yeah, the irony is our chemistry read, quote unquote, was on Zoom.
Yeah, I know. So that if you want extremes of closeness, it's just like, oh man, you guys are really close, and it's so funny.
We were both in Montreal.
We were down the street from each other, and no one knew. Yeah,
exactly.
Everybody assumed, but I'm just like, you're in the plateau for sure.
Yeah, you're like, that door looks familiar.
I'm like, that's a plateau apartment if I've ever seen one.
I mean, I think the chemistry. I mean, I have to be, you know, Hamza was so generous. I've been sort of involved in the project for a while. I was involved in the project for a little while before. And so I'd worked with Julia before, I'd worked with Kim before,
yeah.
I'd already built up a level of trust with them. But Hamza was so willing to just open his heart to the process and to us and to me. And I think I showed up, was that the first night?
We did a table read, and she came to my Airbnb, and as soon as we finished the table read, for about the next 2 or 3 hours, we were just like, so how much therapy do you do a week?
How fucked up are you? Oh, well, let me tell you about mine.
Yeah, exactly.
You show me
well,
yours.
I guess 9/11 didn't help. And it was quite a lot.
Yeah, we were like,
yeah.
Okay, cool, that was fun.
We don't have any time. Yeah, exactly. Well, call time's in about 6 hours. We should probably get some sleep. Yeah.
Now, it's so odd because, I mean, I know the material has been floating around for a while, but to have this all kind of happen during COVID, it feels like even people who see it now are adding sort of their own layers on top of it. I mean, how do you think...
We got conspiracy theories?
No, but I mean, it's one of those things where... this might have played differently kind of without COVID, but because of it, it seemed like sort of that...
I would have been in South Africa.
Like, it would have been a very different thing.
Yeah, but I think we were so atomized, right? And I think so the world of the film, which is pretty close to the world that we live in. I mean, George doesn't reads the paper the day after because he finds it so bleak and miserable. And Annabelle doesn't even read the news because the news is so bleak
and miserable.
And the characters are all sort of led by an app that sort of tells them what to do, so they don't really need to sort of take any charge, called Life Zap, and that doesn't feel very far away from our dystopian reality. So I think,
I mean, what is Life Zap but the culmination of every social media, you know,
that we're already using?
That informs the decisions that we need to make, and everybody who's spending hours on phone is like, well, I saw this on TikTok, or this is what we should do, and this is whatever. I don't know if I want to go to this place. I don't know what, you know what I mean? It just really is that.
So I think it's this kind of life imitating art imitating life. It's kind of like this that odd witchy symbiosis that can sometimes happen, that that feels right on target, so direct, you know.
Well, I mean, it almost, it really in a way kind of speaks to sort of the nature of independent cinema these days as well, because I mean, things are evolving and growing so much. I mean, hell, you're here for two movies on the same day, you know? I mean, it's one of those weird things. I mean, I love being Viking, and I mean, you guys have both done a whole bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you guys see sort of the landscape changing? Because, I mean, especially as a Canadian, I mean, you know, this, it's one of those things where it always feels like we always judge ourselves by our sort of our national film. Mm-hmm. But now in the streaming landscape, cinema is cinema.
Yeah.
It's just all out there.
Yeah,
the cream will rise to the top no matter where it's from.
Yeah. I think it's a really hard question to answer. I mean, I work between Canada and the UK, and was just shooting something in Glasgow that's super super indie. But the funding landscape is really, it's getting harder and harder to make films, but it's getting harder and harder to live. Full stop. So I guess that's also the question. It's like, okay, like, where does funding cinema versus funding people who are having to go to food banks come in? So, but it's a very complicated thing, because all of these elements to how we build a society, how we build a society that is thriving, not just limping along. Art is a necessity too, but it just feels like across the board we're it's becoming harder and harder to exist in a way that feels human.
I mean, yeah, like Anna Maguire is a woman who wears several hats. You know what I mean? Actor, director, producer, writer, and everything. I'm like, I'm just an actor, man. I'll just see what scripts are. And everybody else goes through the headache of doing all of that. And I see the amount of work that it takes to get anything made.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable how anything ever gets made.
It's true.
You know, it's just like, you know, and I'm just like, okay, here, but, you know, by the grace of God, am I? And it's just...
I always say that that phrase is really bubbling around my head right now. There, but for the grace of God,
that's the one. I was like, I know I fucked that up, but no, I meant it. Whatever. Authenticity. You know what I mean? It is just exactly what you said. I mean, here we are talking about, you know, like how to get movies made, and I'm just like, well, there's like unemployment is way, way up. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, we're very grateful in one way, and to say that. You know, like you said, that it, you know, because of all the streaming channels, it's changed the landscape completely. There's that could be seen as daunting and everything like that. There's so much competition, there's everything. But in another way, what I like to look at it in terms of, like, now there is a way to get something for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you want it, you know, there's a percentage chance that there's at least a couple hundred thousand people that want to see this.
Yeah.
You know, and at the very minimum. So now there's so many options. Like, phones are wild now. You know what I mean? You can make things yourself. You can do it on skeleton budgets. You can find these angel investors. You can find people who are willing to do that and willing to take more risks, because the formula by which, you know, traditional funding has gone is changing, and I feel like more people are getting luckier trying riskier things as opposed to people who are trying to mimic other people's work are having difficulty doing that, and that's both scary,
yeah.
But it's also a call to action to really try to hone in on your own originality and authenticity. So misquote all you want.
No, but you know what? So much of that really harkens back just to sort of the spirit and the nature of the film. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, even with love in general, it's like these days we wanna find love by going swipe, 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 rather than doing the work and, you know, sitting in a bar and trying to meet somebody or that kind of thing.
Joining a local softball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's a really... independent film is harder and harder to make as well, because we have everything is IP and content,
yeah.
And yada 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 nowadays, and it feels like money, it feels like cinema has become, and it's always been an industry, of course it's an industry,
yeah.
Like, but it's becoming, I think, more and more of industry first, artistry second,
right.
If at all, and
yeah.
And I feel really lucky to have been able to make this film,
mm-hmm.
And to have made a lot of independent work in Canada, actually.
Yeah.
That's sort of Canada does have an amazing space. It does support a lot of independent artists, and look, nowhere's perfect, and no funding system is perfect, but it is a pretty amazing place to be able to make work.
Mm-hmm.
So as a film artist, and I'm forever grateful.
Now, I mean, I'm curious, because I mean, obviously, as artists, as storytellers, as actors, as, you know, all the jobs that we all have to do,
mm-hmm.
You never know. Like, you're happy, you want to be proud of the work, and you want to be happy with it, but you never know in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
When this started to get out there into festivals and doing stuff, was like there a moment where both of you were could be able to go, wait a minute, this might actually turn into something?
I felt like I felt like it happened on set.
Really?
For me, anyway, there was a moment where we were filming in the forest. It was raining, and there's just you know, pick a day. That was the majority of
sorry,
the day.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's
no,
that day.
But there was, I don't know, there was one day in particular, I think it's when we were filming at the cabin. And there was something so beautiful about how we all held space for each other. I think there were scenes in there that I think both Anna and I had to really venture, you know, into somewhere deeper than ourselves. And the way that we held space for each other, and the way that everybody on the crew was kind of really in it.
Yeah, really supportive as well.
It was
like...
super supportive, super joyous. Like, there was such a... You know, it was a lot of first time everybody's, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people either fresh out of school
or stepping up into a sort of HOD position for the first time.
That they had done. So it was just, there was this sort of galvanization of effort and love that we were all exercising, like, on ourselves and to each other.
And a kind of fuck around and find out attitude too.
Yeah, and I remember thinking that, like, I think it was either like right... Like right towards the end, I don't know why the number 16. So I want to say it was day 16 or it was January 16th. One of the something like that. But I remember looking at you and Grayson, who was there, and I was just like, I think we've got something special here. I don't know why. I just got this feeling. Like, I think this is. I think the amount of love that I was feeling there. I'm just like, if this is the area. Or if this is the foundation through which we are operating, it can't be bad. Like, regardless
yeah,
of whatever.
Yeah.
It, objectively, it can't be, because there's an inherent feeling of love that permeates through every element of this movie, which I And I've seen it, like, we've seen it, like, 3-4 times now, just through, like, festivals and whatnot. But you know what I mean? Did the DVD commentary on it as well. Mm. So we were just, like, looking at it directly. And it was just, like, yeah, you kind of, you just feel it. It felt so tight, collaborative, artistic, full of love. It was great.
And, for me as well, it's been, in sharing it with audiences, it's been really interesting to feel the energy in the room after a screening, because people tend to just say, gosh, that really made me feel good, but also ache.
Yeah.
And this sort of duality of both hope and despair. Mm-hmm. I think that's I guess I'm always trying to achieve. Life is funny and sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to capture that duality and through a very specific lens, this lens that Julia and Kim kind of co-created, this sort of shared space, is and for us to be able to sort of bring that to life and bring those characters to life and imbue those characters with our own personal struggles and difficulties and hopes and dreams and it's sort of it's that perfect sort of the points on the axis where everything meets it felt very special at the time and but you never know what things will do and and how they'll be received, and I think so much of this job is about the unknown. It's scary sometimes because we don't always know when we're going to work again or what the next thing's going to be. You know, and I think to make something and for it to connect, I'm always interested in this idea that we're going, hey, I'm here, are you there too?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of what it is. And when you can go, hey, I'm here, and somebody else goes, hey, I'm here too.
Yeah.
That's the most galvanizing thing that anyone can hope to achieve, I think.
Yeah.
Making.
But I will say credit to that whole, like, you never know thing in terms of, you know, after doing a network series, like, it was just so liberating to not have to worry about how it's going to do. To just be like, I love this thing as much as I could in the time that I was given it. Now it's out of my hands, and there's this beautiful ignorance about just being an actor. It was just like, I just was an actor on this thing, and I love this project as much as I could. I can't change a thing about it. I don't have to worry about, like, doing a sequel. I don't have to worry about the next season. But the thing is, at the time that we were making,
yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? If it goes, it's great. Who doesn't want to watch that? You know what I mean? But, like, who doesn't want to do that with more funding? But, but in the sense of, you know, you're not finishing it with the hopes of doing more. You're not doing it as a pitch for future iterations of the same story. You're doing it as a.
You're making a thing.
You're making a thing, and you're just like, I'm going to stand by this. I've made a definitive statement on what I feel about this content, how I feel, full stop. You know, and now it's out there, and I feel like just, you know, just that action itself, it demands that question from everybody watching. It's like, how do you feel about things? How do you feel? You know,
mm-hmm.
Both like, how do you feel and how do you feel? You know, like,
and I mean, I've got to imagine as actors, I mean, that's got to fuel you just going into those moments and jobs.
Yeah, just like my feet are bouncing right now. I want to go again. You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, again, as working actors, I mean, there's going to be those moments where it's like, okay, the script sucks, but they're paying me well. And you just have to deal with those. I can imagine.
I'll take a couple of those back to back right now.
If anyone, wants to hire me for those things, I'm super down. just to anyone. No. I feel I've been very, very lucky, to be honest. In the last, I've really done a lot of independent cinema. Like, a lot of the work I have been working on in the last little while as an actor or as a writer or even as a director, it's all been very independent in nature. And maybe it doesn't pay very well, but it's, I feel like I get to work with people who want me to collaborate and want me to help tell that story in a very engaged and communal way. And that for me is just the lifeblood of it. Actually, it's cinema. most cinema, not all cinema, you can't just make on your own. And so it is about coming together, and I was just on a set actually in Montreal. I just finished shooting a first feature called Au Revoir Pluton. It's a Sarianne Cormier's first feature.
Oh, okay.
And there was a moment where we needed a black prop, and there was for my hair because we had to hide something, and there was that we only had white lace, and everyone was running around trying to figure out, and then the hair designer went and sort of found a way to sort of turn it another color in like 5 minutes, and that was, you know, it's this kind of where you're just like, we did it, we did it, here we go, let's go, and you're all trying to sort of make the same thing, and you're all trying, and there's this kind of energy that feels so. That is infectious and is palpable, and I think that speaks to what you were saying on the set of With Love, is this sense of okay, we've done a thing, we cared, we played, we engaged, we went there, and hopefully that can be communicated to somebody else later on. But even if all you get is that moment in connection and community in space and time, and then that's, I already feel really lucky.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just put a bow on it. Because, I mean, obviously cinema as a whole is a conversation. And I mean, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, someone may see this movie and be totally inspired by it to go do something else. Is that a week?
Better fucking cast us.
Nobody does. Is that a week?
Yeah, if in 40 years you're listening to this, you probably need a job.
But I mean, is that a weight you guys can carry? Or is it something you have to sort of let go and move on from?
There was some, I think Letterboxd or Tweet or something review that someone said that it was going to be a cult classic.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I can say this, but With Love and a Major Organ is going to be a cult classic. I feel like at the end of the day, you have no idea what's going to resonate with people, right?
Right.
And you have to either, I don't know, you take that risk every time you put anything out in public. Like, mm-hmm. I'll still get stopped in the streets for this children's TV show called Look Cool that I did 11 years ago. It was singing and dancing and teaching children math and geometry and spatial relations, and I'll still be people just like, I used to watch Look Cool all the time, you know what I mean? And it was just like, I don't know if these people are mathematicians or artists or just watch too much YouTube, you know what I mean? But it's just, you have no idea what is gonna resonate with people. And
And that's quite, sometimes a bit overwhelming as an actor. You're kind of putting yourself out there, and you're doing even this, a podcast, you're doing something, and you're like, I'm kind of naked and vulnerable. I'm not naked right now. Just would be weird.
Yeah.
But no, but like,
I am.
It's even weirder.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it's that vulnerability of sharing something. And also you're just sharing it in the moment. You can't know the future. You can't know anything really. So you're just like, here's the thing, I give you my this imperfect shaped thing.
Will the masses love it? Will the right person love it? Ends up making something else. It's all, I can imagine, it's such a weird payoff for you guys when, you know, you get something you didn't expect. If someone pulls you aside and go, hey, I saw you in that movie, it's like, oh really? Oh wow, you saw that?
I didn't know. So much. So I said that to this guy like maybe 2 months ago. Ran into this actor in New York, and I was just like, hey man, I really liked you in and starring Pancho Villa as himself. He was just like, you watched that? You were one of like 9 people who saw that. And I was just like, actually, there were 30 people in this film class that I saw. He's like, oh, okay, it was an academic thing. You know what I mean? But it was just like, again, you never know. I feel like it's like any interaction with a human being. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you remember that bank teller who was rude to you. And
right,
like,
of course.
Why,
why
just particles bouncing off each other in space, man.
But Anna has now taken off her clothes and she's smoking.
We're all naked now. So.
But it's just, it is that. It's a tremendously vulnerable thing to have a conversation, a true conversation with anybody if you're willing to not just remain on the surface. And you have no idea the effect that it's going to have, be it a teacher, a friendship, a partner, a parent,
a stranger on the train.
A stranger on the train is like, hey man, I like your shoes. And you're like, okay, cool, man. That person decided to call their dad that day with anybody. Yeah, just like to reach out to somebody and be like, I see you.
And I guess that's kind of what the film's about, coming back around to it. Like, you know, it's look up.
Yeah, yeah. Don't
look up. Pay attention. Look up. Engage. You never know where it might take you.
So exactly. As you listen to this on your Google Glasses or whatever, on Apple Vision or whatever version of that is in 4 years.
So dear listener, take off your Google Glasses.
Yeah, exactly. All Neuralink subscribers.
And if you're a casting agent, they both need jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, both of you, thank you for just putting this piece of art out there to the universe, and just thank you for engaging in this conversation. It's really a privilege. And thank you for the time today.
Thank you for your time.
Exactly.
You. Our AI avatars in 20 years will be grateful that you listened.
Absolutely.
To this.
perfect.
And don't forget to visit our friends over at Bay Street Video for all your DVD, Blu-ray rental or purchasing needs this summer, as they are still open for curbside and some mailing delivery as well. Over at 1172 Bay Street, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, you can give them a call at 416-964-9088. That's 416-964-9088. Or send them an email at baystreetvideoto@gmail.com for any of your DVD and Blu-ray needs.